Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle, for getting us on a very wonderful mood of worship. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to orient ourselves as to why we are here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this assembly, for the opportunity, Father, to come and to worship together, to encourage one another, to sing, to fulfill so many ministries of the local assembly. And we pray, Father, that all we do this morning will be glorifying to you in the name of your Son and the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I have so many things to report and talk about. First of all, I had a wonderful, wonderful trip with John and Judy, and so many things happened, and I'll go through some of them. But I, as you know, I spoke at the church, and just a wonderful thing that's going to happen. Let's see, 10, 9, 8, and about 2 hours. Two and a half hours, John is going to speak for the first time at his church. And he'll be in a wheelchair, and they set up the table, and it's going to be his first time. But the Sunday I spoke was his first time to be at church since middle of June when he went down. And the people were just so legitimately, not superficially, just was so legitimately happy to see him again. And I told him, though, the reason that he was at church was to be sure everything I said was okay, or he's going to have to correct it next week. In fact, that's why he's teaching next week, meaning today. And I started off telling him, since John was there, visiting preacher came in, and the host pastor was on the stage, sitting as they normally do, and preacher would go on. He's a long-winded preacher, long-winded. And every time... And every time somebody would say amen, that would just get him going. And he would go on and on. And finally, and they didn't catch on. Well, finally, the host pastor said, "Amen, Pharaoh." And he heard that, but he didn't know what that meant. So he just kept on preaching, and "Amen, Pharaoh." And he's getting on. Finally stopped, and everybody left. And he went to the host pastor and said, "I've heard a lot of, I don't know, what does amen Pharaoh mean? It means let my people go." They have a guy in our church, in his church, named Steve. And Steve, you just have to understand, he's just totally obnoxious in a wonderful way. He's one of the, he runs the tapes and things for John, F-R-O-John. And not our Steve. Our Steve certainly would be obnoxious. And but when I told that joke, I looked right at him and I said, "Steve, I don't want to hear amen Pharaoh 10 minutes into this message this morning." So about, oh, near the end, "Amen Pharaoh," I knew he was going to do it. And but I had a wonderful time. John, let's just talk about John. It was just so great. It was the first time that John, well, I was there, walked, and he has a walker, similar to one other, he has a walker, but as you know, his right leg, he can't put any weight on, or very little, and then his right hand is incapacitated. However, the man at the physical therapy designed a contraption. They put it here, and it just has a whole bunch of wires, about six wires, and it helps John to move his fingers that he couldn't do otherwise. But it will help him to move. And they built him on his walker way up high so his arm can go here and his other arm here, because otherwise he wouldn't be able to do anything. But here he can just stabilize it and be able to walk. And we walked outside at his house Thursday. It was his first time since June to walk outside. Things that you and I take for granted. It's just amazing. And he walked outside. Walked a pretty good way. It wears him out. It just completely wears him out. In fact, the Thursday before, the Thursday I was there, got there, he walked just a little ways, maybe 50 feet, was sweating and retired. But then the next Tuesday, my goodness, walked 175 feet, 200 feet. And then Thursday, we walked outside. And then Friday, we walked outside at the house. And they were teaching him how to move sideways. It's quite a little art when you're in a walker to move sideways, to go in and out of doors at the house. Spirits are really great. He just has a great attitude. Several things happen. Dan and Pat, they took Pat's mother, Dan and Pat, pastor in Tulsa, took his mother, her mother to Phoenix, where her other children live. And I tell you a funny story about the mother, and I'm sure Dan would magazine, we were just cracking up. But the mother has Alzheimer's, and for 75 years, meaning all of her life, she has been terrified of flying and would not fly. So they were flying, they fly her different places, and she kind of goes, do I like, oh, Mom, you love to fly. You love, and now she just loves to fly. She doesn't know she's scared of flying. So they just tell her, oh, Mom, you love that. That's really good stuff. And, oh, okay. And she got, oh, that was fun, and flying. And she doesn't know she's scared of flying. So Alzheimer's isn't all bad. And but it was so good with Dan and Pat. And when they came down, and John and Dan and I just had a really great time together. Also, Grady Risman came down and drove up, actually, from Mexico. Now, I guess I'll go into that now, since that seems to be the way I'm headed here. As you know, we sent your offering of, what was it, over 2,000? Over 2,000. And it just blew Bill Risling, the father, just blew his mind. He just couldn't believe it. And because of that, Grady has a really, really nice, not new, but a really nice vehicle for he and his family. And, well, here's the first of all note on that, a personal note. Dear Herman and church family of Spring Valley Bible Church, I want to say how happy we thank the Lord has answered our prayers and the prayers of many others in restoring your health. Praise the Lord. Secondly, we want to thank you for the tremendously generous offering you sent this past month. God bless you, and we praise the Lord for you and your assembly every day. Bill and Pat. Now, what's happened with Grady, and another thing is, Leslie, is there a way that we can, that's a lot, but can we put that on the internet for our people? Can we some way scan that and then transfer it on? Do you have a scanner? I have one, but I don't know how to use it, but I have one. It's really a good one. And well, we'll see if we can. Oh, okay. All right, that'll be where we do it. But it's his letter, and I'm going to put it up here for you. I just encourage you, want to be encouraged of what you're doing with your money and the ministry that's going on with this family. And remember, John, Dan, and our church are the only income, and they just take their money, whatever comes in, and divide it up into all of the families. And there's five of them, five families. Dear Brother Maddox, I am sorry I am so late getting this letter out to you, but sometimes the Lord showers us with so many blessings that we have trouble getting the time to put them on paper. See, here's a great excuse. Now, when you're late doing something, the Lord has just blessed me so much, I don't have time to do that for you. That isn't his attitude, I'm sure. Such has been the case in the past few weeks, and we are praising the Lord for his wonderful grace and your faithful prayers. In the past few weeks, we have had the honor of seeing the Lord bring many to salvation, and each of the ministries has had some very special blessings. Thank you so much for your prayers, as we are very much aware that the miracles we have observed are the result of another special miracle, the answer to your prayers. Then he talks about Pat's health and things that are going on in their ministry. In the past few weeks, we've been very happy. We have seen some 40 people, Mexicans down there, very poor people, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we are studying with them and enjoying the blessings of watching the Lord work in their lives as they grow spiritually every day. I want to share the testimony of three families that have been a special blessing. This is three out of a multitude, and I'm not going to read all three, but just to give you an idea, the first is a family of seven adults and older children that live just two doors down from our house. I hesitate to use the word door since they do not live in a house, but in an old school bus, seven. It's not even a very big bus. They moved up from South Mexico a few months ago so they could live in this area where the wages are much higher. And then he goes through the family. When Summer introduced, that's a daughter, has her ministry, introduced herself, she, of course, told them that we were in Mexico teaching the Bible, and they indicated they were willing to study and hear about Jesus Christ. That evening, Summer visited them in the school bus, and they all sat around the table to study about Jesus Christ in their new Bibles that they had been given, Bibles that you pay for, people. As Summer began to teach, a woman and her son came to the door of the bus to visit with Pedro and Juan. The lady's name is Teresa, and she is the owner of the property on which the bus is parked. She had her 17-year-old son with her, and Pedro explained that Summer was there to teach the Bible and ask her if they would like to study with them. She and her son accepted the invitation, and they began to study. Just imagine 10 people sitting in an old broken-down school bus learning about Jesus Christ. People will tell you something. In America, North Dallas, we're money conscious. The world doesn't live that way. When you get so obsessed with money, that's why Scripture says the root of all evil is the love of money. Not money, but the love of money. When money's just everything to you. And here's the Rieslings living in a very small little thing themselves. And I'm sorry I don't have pictures. Grady's going to try to get me some pictures. And the ministry to people that just don't have anything. You just can't imagine how far the $2,000 you gave stretches. It's beyond our imagination how much they get out of that $2,000. We don't get too much for $2,000 here. But they get a lot. And dealing with he was able to transfer and I traveled, and I'll tell you that. Anyway, it goes through that. You want to read that. When Summer had finished the lesson, she asked them if they understood and questioned them a little just to make sure. That evening, Summer's a teenage girl who just takes it upon herself to go and witness about Christ to these people. That evening, all eight of them accepted Christ as Savior in that little broken-down trailer. Let's see. The second and third families, he talks about them. Now I want to tell you what's happening. He goes to the other children. I want to tell you what's happening with Grady. Grady's the one that came down. Grady was airborne in the military and very well built. And he and I want to work out together sometime. We just never seem to have the time. But he has a good presentation, and he wears what he's done is, now I want to tell you what's happening with Grady. The first and greatest blessing is that Cheryl, that's Grady's wife, is going to have another grandbaby for us. That's a nice way to word it. And they have the two little girls I showed you the pictures of and the little guy. And so now she's, I asked Grady if he knew how all that happens. The Lord is so great, and some of the money went to her, and I asked him what her needs were, and so gave him several hundred dollars just to help her with maternity clothes that she does not have any. I tell you a funny story. I went to Walmart in Tucson, and I'm not thinking clearly. You got to understand this. I'm not thinking clearly. I heard the need, so I drive to Walmart, and I said, well, I'll see. And I walk in, and before I even talk to a clerk, I'm looking at what paternity clothes I have, and I go, I don't know what size. I know absolutely zero. The only thing I know about maternity clothes is that they are for women who are pregnant. But I also know that they get bigger. So do y'all buy seasonal, monthly? Do you buy by month? 6 month maternity clothes, 7 month. I know. So I turned around and walked out. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, you're on your own. I'm going to just give you this and you go take care of it. And he looked at me and said, Herman, I don't know anything about that. I'll just give it to her and I'll take her down to Hermosillo and we'll get them there. But what's happened in Grady, and it comes out in here, is what's happening with Grady is people, sometimes the Lord moves us into one area because we think that's the need. But God has another need that we wouldn't have gone to because we wouldn't have figured out how that could happen. So the Lord got Grady and Cheryl down to Waymos in those pictures I showed you of the village along the water. Well, what happened while he was there is, and I say was there because they've moved up to Ramos, and I'll show you where all this is, but he went to the prison. He got into the prison. Now, you got to appreciate Spanish prisons, and I'm not going to sit here and run them down, but they're way below what we do here. Just word it that way, economically. And they let him come in, and you just can't believe the response he's had. So he is now ministering in three prisons in Mexico. Give you an idea of what happened. Now, where we are on this is I'm just going to start off with Tucson. There's Tucson. And you come down about an hour's drive to Nogales, which is right here at the border. This is the border. This is Mexico. And this is Nogales. And you come almost straight south, and you come to that city I told you about, Hermosito. That's where one of the Risling's ministers goes to the hospital, fixes food half the day, and then goes and gives them to people just sitting around, waiting for the people that are kids and children that are in the hospital. They just sleep and live outside and have nothing to eat, no money. And so what she does, her and her husband, they cook and then all morning, and then they take the food and minister the gospel while they're there. Then you come down on down to the coast, and here is Waymos. G-U-A-Y-M-A-S. Waymos. Beautiful little place along the coast there. And there's a prison. So he goes into the prison there, and now he is in a prison near where they live. They live about here. They've moved from down here to up here since she's pregnant. They've moved up to Rayon, R-A-Y-O-N, Rayon, Mexico, off of the main road, so that she is fairly close to the hospital in America, where the United States, where the baby, they want to have the baby to be born there, but they want to stay here and minister. So he's in a prison here. He's in a prison here. Here, and then he's in a third prison, and I didn't get really where it was, and I want to get all this information and give it to you. But I want to share with you a story. At one of the prisons, and I think it was the one at Rayon, outside of Rayon, or Waymos, it doesn't matter, they had a big riot. So it was a prison shutdown, meaning the prisoners had to stay in their cell, nothing could happen. So he was supposed to go, 2 weeks ago, he was supposed to go, I don't know, we'll say Tuesday morning, and be there. They called him Monday and said that we have a prison closed down. Don't come. And we've had this riot. So Grady told me that about 2 in the morning, he couldn't sleep, and he just told Cheryl, I've got to go. I have no idea why. I know I can't speak to him, but I need to be at that prison. So he got up in his van that you helped pay for and drove to the prison. I think it was the one in Waymos because of the hours it took him to drive there. And he got there, and he was talking to the guards knowing, and the warden walked by. And the warden knows him, and he said, Grady, didn't you get the message? And he said, yes, I got the message. That's fine. Just the Lord told me to come down here. And the warden, they thought, and the warden finally looked at him and says, well, if the Lord told you to come and speak, who am I to say no to the Lord? So he said, but I can't open it up to everybody. So what we'll do is we'll see how many want to come. And 150 wanted to come to his Bible study. The warden said, there's no way I can have 150 prisoners in the space where they have to meet. So we'll take half of that, and those will be the ones that normally come, because they keep a record. So they were allowed to come. Great response that morning to the teaching. They just needed some reinforcement. They needed some calmness. They needed some reassurance of what life's about and not just being in prison. And had great response. In his prison ministries, in two of the prisons, they have five different denominations, if you please, that they allow to come in and speak. The other four average 20-25. He averages 75 up. They love to listen to him. He comes in, he shoots straight with them. He travels when he's speaking in the prisons. He'll wear a kind of a black, we'd call a t-shirt, a black t-shirt, and he wears the cross and coming out. Well, in driving, when you pass through various guard posts and the highway and stuff, they think he's a priest. And they'll just say, go by, priest. And he'll go, thank you, and drive on by. And so he gets on down there. So many wonderful things are happening in the prison ministries. In one of the prisons, and I don't know which one, there's a young fellow named Angel. And Angel asked, he didn't really identify with the Rockford Files. I wondered if it was like Angel of the Rockford Files. But Angel, when he gets out, when he pays serves his term, he wants to work with Grady. In fact, he works with him in the prison. He'll get to help him with the Bibles and things and notes and stuff. And just some wonderful things. So, and he's this prison open, another prison, and around and around, and then there's a third prison. And the warden's talk and the encouragement that he gets from one prison to another is opening the doors, come on in. And so he's getting more and more opportunity to travel. That's both good and bad. He has to be away from Cheryl and the family here in Rayon. It takes about 6 hours driving down here and back, and all the things that he has to do. But the opportunities are unbelievable, the doors that are opening up. And just in this one letter that he wrote, we are dear brother meeting each month. While in La Capella, Grady visited Rayon, which I have here. He visited Rayon, and while there, several people approached him and literally begged him to return and teach them again, if only for a little while. Many of those who were asking were those who had refused to study with him while he was there before, and he was tempted to tell them they had their opportunity and now he must teach others who are not saying no. But he did not feel that temptation from the Holy Spirit was of the Lord. So we all prayed about it. Grady and Cheryl decided to move back to Rayon for a few months. Living in Rayon will also make it much easier for Cheryl while she is pregnant. They will be teaching there at least until the baby is born, which will probably be around March, till the baby is born. And so they go on. People in La Manga will continue to study on their own, and Grady will go there and teach them, hopefully once a week. But you can read all of these, and I think it'll be worth your time to take the time to read those and to appreciate the things that we're getting involved with there. One of the families in John's church, if this is Tucson, they live in a little city about right over here near Nogales, but just a little east and north. Joan and Bob Rice, and I tell you, just you'd love them. Just ace people. Older couple. And what she does is that she makes, puts together, and she's done it before, and she's going to do it this Christmas. Just, how many did she tell me? I wish I'd write things down, but when you're talking in a church and you're just talking with people, I need to be like Columbo, just have my little card and write everything. But 1,000 at least. She puts together little bags. You're going to love this story. Little bags for either the prison ministry or any ministry that all of the families have in Mexico. And she'll put in the bag, a toothpaste, toothbrush, shampoo, toilet paper, just a little gift of absolute necessities for us that we just take for granted. And so I asked Bob, I got him aside of church. I said, now, Bob, where do you get the money to do that? And it was so cute. He goes, well, you really want to know? And I said, yeah, that's why I asked. And he said, well, for the last 2 years, Joan has won it playing bingo. The fact that the bingo place where she plays, it's a joke. Oh, well, here comes Joan and the Lord. See, they're going to win. And I want us to, it wouldn't even take much. Would help her, just unbelievable. The amount of what she does. And then she gives those to the Risling families, and then they'll go to their various places. And Christmas time, when they work, he had some pictures, and I need to get them, of when at the prison where they opened up some of their little bags. And what's so interesting is he said they can see him coming, and they can see if he has any gifts or not, and it doesn't matter. All of them come whether he has gifts or not. He said, so I know it's not the gifts. It isn't a matter of I don't have more when I have gifts and less when I don't. And they can look out and say, okay, he doesn't have anything, I'm not going today. They just look out, and that's Grady and the Gringo, and we're going to go listen. And they'll come and listen to his teaching. And he, like I said, he just shoots straight with them, and they do appreciate it. Please be in prayer for Grady. Please be in prayer for all of the Rislings. Be in prayer for the prison ministry. Be in prayer for Cheryl and the pregnancy. It'd be just so, what a blessing if everything would just go smoothly and no complications in her pregnancy. Just so many things. What a wonderful time. I listened to his story. Grady, I don't think he'd mind because it wasn't in private, he told me. As I said, he was airborne, and he's one of those kind that a lot of us know, just gung-ho. And boy, he was going to do the Ranger and airborne and all these things. And so airborne, where he started, you have to jump out of all these planes. And he told me, I never enjoyed jumping out of a plane. A lot of those guys got off on that. I never did. But it was something I had to do for my goal. I wanted to be a great soldier. Had a mindset. His dad was a colonel in the Air Force, flew bomber pilot, and flew missions. So that was his mindset. Well, his chute didn't open completely on a jump. And it was a low jump, under radar jump, and the chute didn't open all the way. And he hit the ground almost full impact and just tore up both knees. Just tore them up. And Grady told me that after he got out, the hospital, he just actually wasn't even in the hospital very long because there's nothing you could really do unless they go in and redo everything. He said, okay, I'm just going to take my life. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I wanted to be. And that's what that was called. And so I'm just going to end it. And it was a Friday. This is so cool. It was a Friday. He's pretty serious. He goes, and I was just too tired to take my life Friday. He said, I'll do it Saturday. He said, I'm just worn out all day. So Saturday came, and something happened Saturday, and he said, okay, I'll just wait till Sunday. And so Sunday, a buddy of his asked me if he wanted to go to church. I think I remember he grew up Christian. Church, I don't go to church. I want to die. What am I going to church for? So he decides, okay, goes to church. He met Cheryl that night, and he said, I don't think I'm going to take my life. And the two of them went on the journey, and here he is now where he is. So please be in prayer. I'm sure if I met with Summer and with the other children that I would have be just as drawn to them, but God has worked it out. They got to meet with Grady. I hope get them down here, all of the family, and to just come down and stay a while. But we'll just have to see how that goes. And I told him I'd love for him to come, but I get to keep the two girls when they leave. And they get to stay with me so I can spoil them. But please be in prayer for Grady and Cheryl and all the Rieslings. And I'll try to get some more pictures and we'll put them up. Went to prayer meeting Tuesday night. What they do at John's church, at Tucson Bible Church, is every Tuesday night, they meet at a house. And so since their pastor's been down, they've been meeting at his house every Tuesday night. And they have 25 people. And it was phenomenal. I have to just say it that way. I've been to a multitude of prayer meetings in my life. And it was of great impact. And they pray for you. They do it every time. The heart of the people in their prayer is really super. They start off with a praise, and then they go to requests for the immediate family of the church, and then outside of that. So please just be in prayer for John, even be in prayer this morning as he prepares to teach for the first time. It'll drain his energy. He'll be tired, but just be in prayer. I was really impressed with one of his physical therapy workers. We were walking. He was walking on his walker and said something. And boy, she cut him no slack. She said, "You wimp, just keep walking." And boy, she cut you no slack, John. He said, "No, she's mean." But he would be in prayer for all of the Rieslings and for these people. And we'll take another offering for the Rieslings and in November. Then we might even just take an offering or something for Joan and Bob Rice for the little gift packages. And she starts making them at the end of October because she's got to make so many. And it's just something she and he do. They don't have, it's not a big deal of people, just them. And getting the Bibles out, getting all these things out. And Grady and I had a really good time. Opportune time to speak on spirituality by faith in the Spirit, and he's partly there. He certainly has gotten the gospel correctly, and so I like that because I can bounce off feed off of correctly understanding that the gospel for eternal life salvation is by faith, and it's easy to move into spirituality by faith, so just a lot of things going on spiritually, and be in prayer for Dan and Pat. And Dan's church. So there's so many things that we want to be in prayer for. Having said that, any prayer requests that I'm not aware of here? Yes?
One of the women that I was in Canada with that was so generous to me and found the Canadian coin to wash with and prayed with me for my father's recovery,
yeah,
surgery and everything. Her husband died. He was there for cancer treatment, outpatient cancer treatment.
Okay.
And the 2 days after we left, they had to admit him to the hospital. He passed away. And it was unexpected.
But do you remember her first name?
Lil.
Okay, we'll need to be in prayer for Lil. And your father is doing well, has some few little after issues, but is doing well. So we need to be in prayer for his health. And the main thing right now is living alone. Is he going to be capable of doing that? And so we'll be in prayer about that. Because that has a lot of problems both for him mentally and emotionally if he's not able to, and then what do you do if they don't? So it's my mother lived alone till she was 92, and actually 93, And it's they just like that freedom and ability to do that. So we'll be in prayer. Thank you very much. We've got on the internet. Leslie puts on the internet every week a prayer request. So if you just in a prayer time, sometime you want to pray and you don't know what to pray for, well, the prayer list for Spring Valley Bible Church is on the internet. Mike Bell, a good friend who comes here and listens to all of our lessons, requests prayer for the spiritual journey of his mother and his father. Their health is declining. Laura Daig requests prayer for a friend whose mom died. And Tyson Hess injured his back. How's he doing? You don't know. You're not your brother's keeper? I love that. All right. And I guess this happened while I was gone, huh? So, yes. Tyson fell off of a ladder? I'm telling you, stay off of those ladders. My good friend Dave Smith greatly injured himself on a ladder. Dan Hill injured himself on a ladder. Ladders are dangerous. Ladders, motorcycles, and blondes are dangerous. Gosh. So how's he doing? Okay, so he was here last Sunday. All right, afterward, all right. Well, she's good. She is very good at what she does. She's very good. His vision blurred a little bit. Okay. All right. Wow. Well, we need to be in prayer for Tyson. Gigi requests prayer for a friend with West Nile virus. Oh, my goodness, Gigi. All right. And then the Howlett's, a nephew, his name is Elijah, was deployed to Iraq. Helen, Rick's Howlett's sister, going through personal issues. James Taylor and Dana's mother, the wonderful things are happening in Houston with James, so we continue to be in prayer. Nancy Becker had her surgery, major surgery Wednesday, went very well. And so super, she went home Friday. And so I called Wednesday, but then I called Friday when I got home Friday evening. And it was about 8 and nobody was home. So the phone rang back about 8:45. And they live in a little town in Missouri, and they always have in this little town a little thing they call the Jamboree. You get to eat and sit around and listen to live music. She went to the Jamboree. And I said, well, how can I think you're really down and out if you're at the Jamboree? But I was so happy that she felt that good to do that. So she's doing really well. James Tuttle, Wes's son, going through a difficult part of his journey. Vic Edwards' daughter, Michelle, these are prayers. Well, the Hallett's really, they're kind of occupying our prayer list. Rick, a friend of the Hallett's, is experiencing heart problems, and so I'll be in prayer for that. And here's Gigi again. Gigi requested prayer for his mom, and we do need to be in prayer for your mom, Gigi. Wes Tuttle still has pain in his right wrist. Man, we got to get you taken care of. Take that off.
I knew you wanted it, but I wanted to make sure.
It's getting too good. Keep praying. Don't take it off. Oh. The Jensen's friends, Jamie, needs our prayers. Jerry's niece has pregnancy complications. Her name is Casey?
Cassie.
Okay. Vic and Cindy Edwards, physical complications. Please be in prayer for them. Let's see. Jay and wife. A minister to teens receiving, I know you're talking about, yes, please be in prayer for, they're the ones that I met a couple of weeks ago at the convention with Don Becker. Pam Harvey's dad, we've mentioned, be in prayer. Let's see, Abel and Christy, their children, Grayson and Victor. Abel was deployed to Iraq for 12 months. Oh, and two children left behind. Wow. Need to pray for her, too, more for him. Pam Douglas, they come during the week going through medical issues related to vision and recovery vision. Friend of the Douglases named Terry, diagnosed with brain tumor. Okay. Jerry, friend of the Douglases, dealing with marital problems. Wow. And then Mac Maddeley has been called back to active duty in Iraq. It is in November. Okay. So, people, there's power in making our requests be made known to Him. And we need to do that. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purchases in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined, first of all, as a believer, but not only that, a believer who is filled with the Spirit, knows how to do that, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit in regard to giving. We each have a certain amount of money, and what we do with the money is has a lot to do with we can learn about ourselves. You want to learn about yourself? I tell people, if you want to learn about yourself, just look over the last 8 months of your checkbook, and you'll learn about yourself. What's important to you? And we have certain things we've got to do with our money. We've got to pay taxes and got to pay bills, and but there's the money that we have control over after those things tells us a lot about ourselves. And to me, giving is one of the great areas of our faith. We're taking that which is related to the material world and we're saying, I'm investing it in the spiritual, in the eternal. That's how important it is, and that's how much I believe in it. And again, people, it's just amazing how much they can stretch $1,000 in Mexico and taking the gospel message to those people. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this humble assembly. And we thank you, Father, for using this cup that you have molded in the way that you've seen fit. And we continue, Heavenly Father, to put ourselves into your hands to be used in any way that you see fit. Spreading of the gospel news to believers and unbelievers through the internet, publications, missionary activity, and certainly Heavenly Father within this assembly family itself. And now, Father, we pray that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give and that you will continue to use them to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together, and I hope you don't get tired of singing this hymn. I love it, especially when I come back from something like this week and talking with John and Judy and then with Dan and with Grady. Dan was talking about the African ministry he does. Talk to me again now that everything's over. Maybe going to Africa and teaching at one of the schools next spring. And so let's stand and sing 461. 461, I love to tell the story, all three verses. I have to tell you, I love to watch. They have on one of the channels, I don't even know what channel it is, but they old Billy Graham classics, and I love to watch Grady. And I like the way he leads. He leads for the people, so that he does by the words, and both arms, and now I got off on that. I'm gonna get into that. I can do that. All you got to know is kind of know the beat and just get going with it. I can do that. So, okay, let's open the scriptures for Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Had a long morning. Other things talked about. I don't regret that. I want you to know about what's going on. And when I'm out, I want you to know people are listening to the internet, the messages that go on from here. That's always encouraging on a personal level. And so to ask, be asked questions, you know that they're listening when they come up with questions. So let's prepare ourselves for the study of Romans chapter 1. And unfortunately, we're still in verse 1. And for this speedy thing I wanted to do in Romans, we're not doing too well. But these things are important, so let's begin with the word of prayer. A letter inspired by your Spirit, the Apostle Paul, to a group of Gentile believers like ourselves in the city of Rome, is what we now have. Your Spirit inspired it, protected it, preserved it, and now we pray your Spirit will illuminate it to us. Some of the things that will be effective for us individually and us as an assembly to see and know. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul. Two names, Paul and Saul. Two natures in the same person, giving us the inner struggle. It's a classic study. He has two names, Saul and Paul, given to him at birth. Paul is his Gentile name. Saul is his Jewish name. But they represent for us the inner struggle inside of us. The two natures that reside and therefore our struggle. A bondservant of Christ Jesus. Next, Paul gives his rank or his authority to write them. Remember, they have not met him. He has not met them. He has not met these people. So he is now introducing himself by way of authority or rank. Call as an apostle. Well, people, let me just tell you, we could spend a long time here, but I don't want to. We got to move on. But let's note a few things so that we see it. First of all, a descriptive adjective, kletos. Now, the reason I'm putting this on the board, K-L-E-T-O-S, kletos. I wish you could know the amount of fighting that goes on theologically on this one word. This is a word that is the heart of a lot of theological battles, a lot of false teaching. Some are called, some are not called. Are you in the called group? Hyper-Calvinism. All these kinds of things that we like to do with the words that are in the Scriptures. So I'm just letting you know, this is a word that you, if you run across hyper-Calvinist, this will be, I've been called to this, making it something a little different than what we have here. The word kletos means to be called or invited. Now I'm going to give you a verse in a few moments about that, but just because you're called doesn't mean you're going to go. Just because you're invited doesn't mean you're going to go. We're often invited to different things we may or may not go. Often we're invited to two things at the same time. And some of us wrongfully try to juggle both of them. So we had two parties or two things and not really giving full concentration to either. So not everybody's going to be invited, as we're going to see in a few moments, but and going to be called. It means to be called or invited and here to assume something to an office. Let's note a few things, if you will. Point one, best way to handle this is in points. And I'm trying to limit it to 7 points because, people, I can make it 50. And they'd all be important. And they would take us on a good journey. But I wouldn't do that today. But I hope to give you a heart of the word so that you have a good understanding that I think you need for practical living of the Christian life. So let's note a few things. First of all, the word has caused a great deal of problems and false theology. It has caused a lot of problems and a lot of false theology, false doctrine, for an example, involved in hyper-Calvinism. The word means just that, to be called. With that in mind, let's take a look at Matthew 22. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 22. Let's let the Bible help us not spend forever on this. And while I'm not going to spend 2 or 3 hours, I want you to know they'd be meritorious. I'm letting it go, but there's just a lot here in this one word to be called, and all the theology about it. But let's see if we can flow through this. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. Matthew 22:14. This is a very famous verse, well-known verse. For many are called, but few are chosen. Okay, let's take a look. For many are called. The word many, you can put the word all. All are called. That happens a lot in Scripture, where the many refers to all. So, all are called. What is that? That's the gospel invitation. That's the gospel invitation here in Matthew. Now, in our Romans 1, please learn. I've learned from about 91 to 95 that a lot of times I would take off, and I was taught how to do this, and go for a long time, had nothing to do with the text. And that helps me stay with the text, to not go off somewhere and you come back. Well, I don't even know what it meant in the text. I can give you a lot. I want you to know what it means in the text. In Romans 1, Paul is called to be an apostle. But I want to just spend a few moments on that word called with you. But if I were to say, let's just stay with the text only, it would be that he's called to be an apostle. So let's take a look here. Many are called. That's the gospel invitation here in Matthew 22. It's a gospel invitation. All are called, but few chosen. Now, this again leads to a lot of false theology and a lot of problems with people. How? Who are chosen? Many are called. That's the gospel. I'm going to say, let me find out where you are. For many are called, that's the gospel invitation. But few are chosen. Who are the ones chosen? The ones who respond to the call. This is not difficult stuff. But boy, I can make it difficult and just twist your mind and do all kinds of things with it. It's very simple. It's very simple. Many are called, few are chosen. Who are the chosen? Those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those who respond to the call. That's how simple this is. It's not difficult. I'm not going to get into the doctrine of predestination. But let's make it very simple. A mother and a father make a decision that whomever their son or daughter marry, they are part of this family. Now, they're not choosing outside of knowing who it is, but whomever their son or daughter marry, they come into our family. We make that decision. We're not going to make a decision, well, we don't approve of who you married. This couple made a decision, whomever they marry, they're invited into this family. That's the concept of predestination. We are not predestined to, a person is not predestined to marry our daughter or our son, whomever they marry is predestined to be part of this family. Do you see that? Now let's go to the spiritual realm if you see the simple human realm. In the spiritual realm, God has not predestined someone to believe in Christ. He has predestined everyone who does believe in Christ. So that's what we have here. So many are called, all, gospel invitation. Few are chosen, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Point two. In our passage in Romans 1:1, it's referring to an official calling or summons or invitation to Paul to perform some specific mission. Want to learn to think? I had to re-kind of do my thinking because we want to stay with the context. That's where a lot of false teaching comes into being, is when you get out of context and you start roaming all over the Bible and you bring this into here and this in and you lose it. In our verse, it refers to an official calling or summons or invitation to someone to perform some specific mission. Paul has been called by Jesus Christ for the mission of the gospel. Point three. For the record, We are all called. We are all called by Jesus Christ. You are called. Look at Romans 1:6. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look together at verse 6. Romans 1:6. Among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. Every one of us are the called. Now, unbelievers are part of it, but they're not in the call because they have not accepted it. But in verse 6, you are part of the call. And if you'll note verse 7, we're also called as saints. Verse 7. Verse 6, among whom you also, Romans and Gentiles and all believers, also are the called of Jesus Christ, also meaning along with me, to all who believe, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from our Lord, from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so, we're all called into the gospel call of Christ, and we're called saints. Point four. That you will also know something else about yourself, which is part of what this whole letter to the Romans is about. When you're called to something, people, you learn about yourself. You learn about yourself. And this is important. You learn some things. And let's note a few things of what we're called under point four. First of all, we're called Christians. Look at Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. Who am I? Well, if you believe in Christ, this is who you are. 11:26. Verse 25, and he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Anybody know what Christian means? Huh? Little Christ. How would you interpret it, Phil? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's exactly right. Little Christ, it's a derogatory term. You don't think for yourself? See, I'm woman, I'm invincible, I'm man, I'm in control, I'm my own person, I'm my own being, and I'm a little Christ. That's intimidating. It's intimidating. It means you're just little Christ. You don't think for yourself. You don't do for yourself. You're just little Christ. Now, to some of us, if we were called that in the proper meaning of it, love it. Love it. Cherish it. Honor it. That's an honor. But I just want you to be aware that Antioch's a great church. Just an unbelievable church. I love the Church of Antioch, where they were first called Little Christ. Let me tell you one little thing about the Church of Antioch. They were just so divorced of judging. Paul and Silas and I had a battle, and they separated. And I'm so sorry, because I think that Silas had a great impact on Paul. But they were both going to go different ways in their ministry. Church of Antioch will support both of you. Different directions. Different journeys. Oh, we want to know why they said. We want to know everything. What happened? Oh, no, whatever you do, we'll support both of you. We put our confidence in financially to support both of you. So this is where they were called little Christ. You just don't think for yourself. Well, you're just a little Christ. What an honor that would be. And with all that is involved there. Let's see. Point five. Called into fellowship with his son. You are called into fellowship with his son. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. It's the next book after Romans. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1, 9. People, you're learning about yourself. You walk out of here this morning, you've learned some things about yourself. You've learned about some missionaries. And you've learned some things now about yourself. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, people, when you're called into something, you learn about yourself. That's what's important here. You learn about yourself. When you understand a calling. Okay, point six. Now, we'll note some of these later that I'm going to give you to talk about, but just put these down now. We will study them. But I want you to know three directions of a calling. First, in reference to the past. That's our calling into salvation. And you always want to remember that your past determines the future. We never want to leave the past of the cross. One of the problems in America is that we have forgotten our past. And because we have forgotten our past, we're losing this country. Now, some people, many politicians, think that's good. You might hear a politician, a liberal politician, make some kind of thing, and you go, that's just not even America. They don't think America anymore, people. They think world. You and I sit back and, how could you even do that? It's very simple if I don't think America. If I'm not great for this country. If I just, it's the world. And how we fit into this world thing. So they have forgotten their past. They have forgotten our heritage. Because it's no longer important. When you do that, this is one of the most wonderful things about a strong family tie. Strong family keeps you tied to the past. That's your grandparents and your parents and your great-grandparents. But we're so diverse in America. We move and we have very little relationship with our grandparents and oftentimes with even our parents. And there's no bondage to hold there. No past. Your past has a great deal with your future. So point one, first of all, to the past. We're called into salvation. Point two, the future. Our calling into eternity. The certainty of your future gives hope and vitality to your present life. You look at your past, the cross, look at the certainty of your future, and people, you have a vitality of life. I'm so sorry that so many Christians are just so upset and stress, anxiety, depression. Hey, that'd be a good series, SAD. Stress, anxiety, depressed, worried about money, worried about this and worried about that, and lose the enjoyment of every day. Lose the enjoyment of friends, family, church. Because you're so tied up with all of the garbage of the earth. So, called from the past, the cross, secured to the future, eternity, that now sets up the hope, vitality for the present life. You live in reference to eternity, people, is much different than living in reference to this earth. Well, all my money, or my security, or my marriage, or my health, or my this, or my that, and you just get so serious and so caught, you lose the fun of life, the dynamics of living each day. So this calling is really important to us. And then the third impact is to the present. Called into our mission. What am I really here for? What's my mission? Is my mission here to do this or to do that? What's our mission? So, and then we'll come to point seven. Point seven. Principle of our calling by God, from God, sets forth our purpose on life and on earth here. Reminds us that we are here for His calling. What God calls us to be, what He calls us to do, is far more important than what man calls us to do or to be. or even what we call ourselves to do or be. We make up and determine our own life. We make this decision, or we allow people to make the decision of what we're going to do. I know so many people my age now that are friends, and they still are dealing with the burden. I'm talking about over 60. Still dealing with the burden of what their parents wanted, and how they disappointed their parents, or they didn't get their parents this. And people, what a shame we do that to ourselves. Forget the parents, forget society, forget whoever else is putting pressure. I let them do it. There's only one calling you need to be concerned with, people. And that's your call from God. Your mission from Him. That's our only concern. And so this calling, the past, the cross, it's taken care of. I'm in Him. The future, that's secure. Because that is secure, I now have the dynamics, the enjoyment, and to live the present. And then the present impact of the call is to know what we're here for. A calling by God lets us know. Don't forget this. Man and the adversary will do everything they can to get you into a different calling, people. Or, listen, or make you think you're not worthy of your calling. They'll do both. Man, people, the adversary, Satan and his cosmic forces, will get us to into a calling that is not the calling that God brings. Or, and this is just as powerful, get you to think you're not worthy of the calling. And boy, when that happens, he shot you down. So you have to be conscious of your calling. This came up in the discussion with John. I have to pass this on. It's so funny. John and I were talking about way back when getting in the ministry and get to church, and his story is really a great story. But he said he got a call. Jerry, you'll love this. He got a call from Minnesota, and they heard that he was maybe wanted to look for a church or something. And he knew the guy a little bit, and he says, hey, I wasn't called to be a missionary. I was called to be a preacher. So it helps to know people are calling. And don't let man determine your calling, and don't let man cause you to think you're unworthy. Stay away from those kind of people and influences. It will just so influence you as to what you shouldn't do. And remember when I played football? It wasn't great, but I did enjoy the years. But I started playing football in a pee wee league with the pads and everything. I lived in a neighborhood, and there was a boys' variety club not far away. And I went over there a lot, so Mom was happy with that. But she didn't know I was playing football. And finally one day I came home, and I mean, I was beat up. And she, what happened? And I told her I was playing football. How long have you been doing that? And so that was the first meeting that I ever really had with my mom in my mind that I can remember. We sat down and talked about, was I going to be allowed to play football or not? I mean, I broke my finger. It's still broken from that. About the third or fourth grade. And so she let me play. But you know, when you're a little guy going out, you don't know. I just want to play football. So a coach kind of says, okay, you look this way, you look that. And so he made me a fullback. Back in those days, we had the T formation was famous, and I was a fullback. And in defense, you played both ways, inside linebacker. And that helps. If he had made me a lineman, that would have changed everything. I got to think the way a lineman thinks. If he made me an M, maybe a quarterback, whatever it is, it helps you to know, people, what you're called to do. Called of God. I'm not called of man. And this is what I'm called to do. And so it influences how we live the present life. Well, the next thing he says, called an apostle. And that's what is important here. And so we'll take up with Paul as an apostle. And I hope we get through this before he lived and died, the number of years that he lived and died, get him into his ministry. But I don't regret the time on the missionary report and going through our own prayer request. And the things that are to me are so important. Let's close in a word of prayer. We as an assembly of believers, Heavenly Father, have come together like-minded, have made our request be made known to you. Prayer for so many people that we mentioned in our prayer list, and the Rislings, and Grady, and Gerald, and John Hintz, and Judy, Dan, and Pat, and Father, for each other here in this very assembly. Everyone in this room, in our assembly, and those who listen on the internet that are part of this assembly need our prayers. We don't know every little thing going on in everyone's life, but we know that every one of us need prayer. And so, Father, we bring our prayer request before you. Father, we thank you for the time we have to assemble this morning to fulfill so many things that are going on in the church that you've called, designed the church for. And Father, this morning we thank you for our calling, that we know about it. We know of it. We know what it is. We know we're called into Christ, to fellowship with Christ. Sets course of our future, determined by our past, and impacts our present life. We praise you, Father. I pray now that these things we've seen will first of all bear fruit in our own souls, in our own lives, and then, Heavenly Father, to those that are outside of our being, outside of our environment, in our environment, others, a spiritual love. Father, we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.